This is Straight Heat on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Patrick Creighton.
All right, on the hotline with us right now, Matt Dainley covers the Colts for SB Nation Stampede Blue. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, not much, man. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right, buddy. We're in week two here of the new show, and so far Jose hasn't quit, which is pretty good.
Yeah, sounds great.
I know not every host has had that luxury of not having their producer quit after a week because they're a jerk, but so far so good for me. I haven't ticked them off too much. Let's get into it. First things first, how scared should Colts fans be about Andrew Luck?
Right now we've been through all of this process before. I think that everybody just is hopeful. Like I said, several hundred times already, he looks good physically. His arms are good. I think that everything that we're getting as far as information-wise, I think that we should all be expecting him to be an active participant in training camp. I think that we had some expectations of him last year, and those came back to bite us. So I think everybody's coming in this a little bit, cautious, I suppose. But I think that we're in good shape, I think Andrew's in good shape right now. And I think that anytime that you get the luxury of having a quarterback like that, he's going to help a lot of the deficiencies that the Colts currently have on their roster. So I think he's in good shape, and I think that the Colts should expect him back. I think fans should expect him back.
You think this is going to be one of those things like, when Peyton Manning first came back, how, he wasn't really throwing the ball all summer, and, in July, Eli Manning's like, man, he can't even throw the football 10 yards. And then as they get through training camp, early in training camp, he's struggling and just builds his arm strength as it goes. You think it's going to be something like that?
I wonder about that myself. I think that the expectations as far as him coming back and the expectations for how he's going to perform should be two completely different things. Andrew's been off the field for quite a while, so he's not going – I just don't think that we can expect him to be Andrew Luck of the first couple years of his career in the first, four, five, six games of the season. I think that realistically we have to look more towards a mid-season – a coming out party, so to speak, of Andrew Luck. I think that when he gets back on the field, it's not going to be like riding a bike. He's been off the field for quite a while, and quarterbacks typically, when they're off for that long, don't come back just blazing, So when he comes back, that arm strength shouldn't be a question anymore. They should know all of that through camp and through OTAs, all that good stuff. They should know all of that by the time the season starts, preseason. But how he's going to actually perform, not to mention he's going to be in another new system. He's had several offensive coordinators already through his time with the Colts. He's going to have another one. He's going to have a completely new offensive system. He's going to have some guys there that he hasn't played with. He's going to have more than likely some new faces up front protecting him. So this is going to be quite a bit of a change for him too. I think that we should all be optimistic as far as what Andrew can bring us, as far as the Colts fan base. But once again, the expectations have to be somewhat tempered because of the time that he's had off.
Matt Dainley covers the Colts for SB Nation Stampede Blue. Matt, the Colts have had a very quiet offseason. They've also got over $61 million in cap space that apparently is very deep in their pockets and their arms are too short to reach. Are they trying to carry this all over, kind of like the Browns had done, where they're going to try to make this where they're going to have an offseason next year with just $1 zillion to go spend? Or is the organization just being really cheap?
I don't think it's cheap. I think that it's definitely – I think it's Ballard just forcing his will on his plan. He's one of those guys that, at least from what we've seen of him so far, what he says, he does. And he's not going to change his approach or his style – or his philosophy just because people want him to. I think when he comes into this season, he's got some depth. Amazingly enough, I wrote about this the other day. He's got some like kind of under the radar depth at a couple of positions. He brought in guys like Kenneth Acker or Acker, not a guy that a lot of people know about, but last season he brought in DJ White, he brought in Ross Travis, the tight end. Jeremiah George was a nice rotational guy last year. He might end up being one of the outside linebackers. They've got some maneuverability with some of the guys that they had last year. Not a lot of playmakers. That's going to be the issue through the draft. As far as spending the money, they've got a ton, right? Like you mentioned, they've got over $60 million in cap space right now. And what he does with that, I don't know that they're going to roll all of it over. Obviously, they can't, but they're going to roll a significant amount of that over. C.J. Anderson, a guy who hit the, you know, kind of hit the party today of being one of the late release guys, running back from Denver, he was a guy that apparently there were some rumors maybe a month and a half ago or so that he was, or that the Colts were actually in trade talks to acquire him. Not so much that they had, you know, blossomed into, you know, an agreement by any means, obviously, because it didn't happen. But there were talks about that the Colts and the Broncos were in talks about him. Now that he's released, it makes you wonder if you bring in a guy like that who's 27 years old, hit 1,000 yards last year, is a threat out of the backfield to catch the ball, which is exactly what Frank Reich wants out of his running backs. He's also a guy who can pass protect. And that right there, you get rid of about two or three guys that are in that backfield right now. When you look at Josh Ferguson, you know, he kind of becomes a pointless piece. Matt Jones, he's that big 6'2", 240-pound guy. He might still be there, but that's ultimately kind of a redundant position at the point. You know, then you've got Christine Michael, Robert Turbin, George Wynn. Those guys can all be wiped away for the most part. If you bring in C.J. Anderson, that helps that Colts backfield a lot blossom and gives Marlon Mack somebody to realistically model his game after, because one of Marlon Mack's biggest issues is pass protection. And as we saw last year, he had some struggles catching the ball out of the backfield. So I think there's going to be some moves where he brings in some free agents late. It's not going to be a lot of the high-paid guys. Obviously, those guys are off the mark already. But, you know, I think they're going to roll a big portion of this over, but that kind of sets up for the 2019 free agency class. And that was one of the rumors not too long ago going around, that that's kind of what Ballard is trying to do, is kind of drive up some of these offensive linemen prices, looking at some of the or not just the offensive linemen, but some of the free agents that are going to be available next year. I would expect the Colts to be a little more active next year in free agency to kind of legitimately fill some of the holes that they didn't with this year's draft. And then I think you're going to see a significantly better roster overall next year, after next year's draft as well. This year, you're basically betting on everybody that you draft and the depth that Ballard has acquired throughout the year to come in and make a competitive team, to actually go out there and try to compete with Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Houston, who have actually done really well, you know, over the past couple years in building their roster. So he's got his work cut out for him, but it is a plan. He is acknowledging that it's a 2 or 3 year plan. It's not something that they're going to try to do overnight. And you know, we'll have to see. It's something that I think Colts fans need to understand. It is absolutely something you have to wait on, and the results will come with time. There is some talent there. There's some depth, some reasonable depth, not great depth. But once we get this draft class in, we'll see who's a playmaker, who's a difference maker. And after that, you know, then we'll get the full picture of what Colts fans should legitimately expect out of the 2018 season.
You know, it's funny you mentioned C.J. Anderson, because not only did he do all those things that you mentioned, but he did them on a team that had a worse offensive line than the Colts did last year and had worse quarterback play than the Colts did last year, yet he still averaged over 4 yards a carry, 1,000 yards, handful
Absolutely.
Of touchdowns, and graded out as the best pass-blocking back in the league, which
right.
You know, I'm quite sure that, you know, whether it's Luck or Jacoby Brissett, both of them be very happy to have that. You know, Robert Turbin and Christian Michael, those guys have bounced around the league for a reason. They're very inconsistent backs. So,
right.
That'd be a nice addition. If they were to make that addition, would they have any interest in Dez?
I don't think so. I think when you look at the age range that Ballard's tried to kind of keep his acquisitions in, you know, Acker or Acker, he's 26. You know, that's kind of his sweet spot, Ballard's. C.J. Anderson's 27. That's his sweet spot. I think Dez is 28 or 29. You know, and he's kind of, you know, he's a limited receiver. Now, he's got the length, the speed, and he's got the, you know, the point to where he will go to the catch point with anybody, and he'll challenge the catch for sure. But the problem with Dez is he only runs a few routes, and the Colts can't afford to have somebody that limited in their route with that kind of a route tree with what they expect to get out of this offense. I think as we talk about receivers, I think that some of these receivers, it's kind of interesting that there's going to be a no-name receiver on this team that is going to break out this year. As long as Andrew Luck's healthy, he's going to make one of these guys, whether it be KJ Brent, I wouldn't say Ryan Grant, but you've got Krishan Hogan, 6'3", 220, big dude, but he's got a lot of speed. Local guy out of Marion College, Shontavis Jones, you know, another one, 6'3", 200. Colby Listenbee, a lot of people forget him, but may remember him from his TCU days. He's a 6'183 guy, almost identical in body style to Chester Rogers. So they've got some guys on this roster that people just don't even know are there, to be quite honest with you. And similar to the way that Peyton Manning used to make some of these no-name guys legitimate receivers, I think that we might see Andrew Luck do that with a couple of these guys that are on the bottom of the roster right now.
Dude, I hope so, because you got T.Y. Hilton and a bunch of guys whose names came out of a garbage can.
Yeah, for the most part. But look, they're legitimate players. I mean, some of these guys can legitimately play. They've got the speed, they've got the length, and they've got the talent. I mean, I think that it's very underrated wide receiver core just because people don't know their names.
Now, Matt Danley covers the Colts for Stampede Blue with SB Nation, giving us the dirt and the skinny on everybody going on in this offense. Matt, you know, before the Colts made the deal to drop down to 6, they were very heavily connected to Saquon Barkley. Now that they've moved down to 6, as the Giants seem to be more connected to Barkley than to Rosen, what is the, I guess, the hierarchy of Colts? What's their big board? Maybe the top three guys on their big board sitting at the 6th position. I'm sure if Saquon Barkley were still there, they'd love to get him, but let's say he's not there. Well, who's next?
I legitimately don't think that Saquon Barkley's one of their targets. At least he's not the guy they want in the first round. That is my own opinion. But I think that you have to look at the pass rush. Obviously, Bradley Chubb. You look at Quentin Nelson, offensive guard there. Those two guys, in my opinion, are their top two picks. If one of them is there, they're probably going to pick them unless they just predetermine to trade themselves back. Those are some rumors as well. The Colts looking to trade back with Buffalo for both their first-round picks, maybe a second, because Buffalo's got the ammunition right now to offer the Colts. But that third guy is the one that's really kind of, you know, playing games with people. Lately it's been Roquan Smith. Is he the guy that's there? But 6 seems a little rich for him, you know. Derwin James, I think that the people around the NFL right now really value him and his ability to play a lot more than what a lot of the analysts and a lot of us, you know, who talk about the game would probably guess. So if there's two guys, I'm going to say that it's Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson. And if the Colts feel that they could still get some picks and maybe get Roquan Smith a little bit later on in the first round, like maybe 11th, 12th, somewhere around there, or a Tremaine Edmonds or something like that, and maybe get another two picks out of this, I think that they would do it. And I think that they would be more than happy to get one of those because there are some premier players. There's a very, very good second wave of players in this draft. And I think that the Colts realize that, hey, it isn't a one-year deal. We're not going to turn this over. We're not going to the Super Bowl in 2018. They are, however, trying to acquire as much natural talent that can be developed with this new coaching staff. So I think that you look for Bradley Chubb because the Colts simply don't have a pass rush right now. They are trying to develop Terrell Basham. Obviously, Jabal Sheard had a nice year last year. That would be an excellent rotation, I think, pending Terrell Basham being able to actually live up to what they perceive him to be talent-wise. Quentin Nelson, on the other hand, locks down the interior and would give the Colts an absolute killer in there to protect Andrew Luck. And I think that those are the two guys, in my opinion, that they have kind of locked in their board right now for that number 6 pick. I think if there's a third one out there, to me, it's a mystery because there really isn't too many other guys that they could legitimately take at 6 that I think would be worth the draft capital at that spot. But we don't know what Chris Ballard's board is. just it's just hard to get outside of Chubb and Nelson for me, to be quite honest with you.
Matt Danley covers the Colts. Stampede Blue, SB Nation. Follow him on Twitter at MDanleySB. Great insight, brother. Appreciate all that information. We'll catch up again soon. Take care, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right, Matt Danley, SB Nation, covering the Colts.